Hello and welcome to A Star to Steer Her By, episode 349.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm Chris, and joining me today are
Ames,
Caitlin,
and Jake.
Wow, I'm glad Jake's awake.
I wish that we fucking taped this, like, and put it on YouTube like some podcasters do, just so that people could appreciate Jake's big goofy face. Because that was amazing.
Nice. Glad I could help.
This week, John continues his race to the bottom of the ethical barrel in Stratagem and Harbinger.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah, no, fuck him. Fuck him and Phlox.
Well, I don't know why people give Sisko all this guff for the war crimes. Granted, there were a lot of war crimes, but Archer is a monster.
I'll tell you why. Because he's black and it's a barely hidden racist issue, probably. I mean, I would guess.
It might also be that no one watched Enterprise.
True.
But a lot of people didn't watch Deep Space Nine at the time either. I don't know what I just said. No one watched Deep Space Nine then either. Like, I mean, what the hell was that?
The key thing, and I think I already said this a few weeks ago, is that Ben at least has the decency to feel bad about it.
But he can live with it.
But anyway, what the hell specifically did John do this week?
Tons.
Well, you'll have to find out about Harbinger later, because first up, we're at Stratagem. We open on a little ship, and John has bad hair.
Worse than usual hair.
And Degra...
Better than usual hair.
I don't know.
He looks like he, like, needs to immediately rush off to, like, I don't know, a fucking performance of HMS Pinafore or something. Anyway, so yeah, he's in a little ship with Degra, the Zindi, what seems to be the lead designer on the weapon. And come to find out, apparently it's been 3 years... And John and Degra were in a prison camp run by the insectoids together. Earth done got kerploded, and the insectoids immediately turned on all the other Zindi. But wait, turns out this is all a big, crazy trick, possibly psychological torture, by John and company.
Damn, because it sounded actually... so like the Zindi insectoids.
But also, it sounded like, wait, are we really going to have to do another Undo the Destruction of Earth episode? But nope, because it's all a lie. The Enterprise went to the test area, fucking Bikini Atoll in space from last week, to see if they could find anything, and oops, they find Degra and his buddies. And they knock them out and kidnap them. And try to interrogate them, but nothing really comes of it. But then Phlox is like, I can erase memories, which is fucking terrifying.
As most memory wipes are.
How many times has Phlox just done horrible things and wiped the entire crew's memory about it?
So many.
Yeah, fucking hate him. And so they set up this whole elaborate ruse with this fake backstory. And Archer's like, oh, you just don't remember because... the interrogation techniques, like, knocked out your memory. It'll come back eventually.
You're full of worms.
Yeah, works on weaseling the location of the construction site out of him. And
wormsling.
And, you know, eventually something goes a little funny with the simulator, which tips Degra off, but he'd already spilled the beans. But to make sure he actually did spill the beans, they do an even bigger simulation.
Ba-da. And Mayweather helps.
Yes, and they rewipe his memories and tra-la.
Send him on his merry way instead of keeping him or something.
Yeah, I mean, at least our good buddy Greylick doesn't get fucked by this.
I was very worried for Greylick for a little bit there.
Yeah, that was the
one
thing.
Granted, I knew the twist, but I was still worried for Greylick, because now it's like, because now he knows about Greylick. Shit, no!
Well, that's the thing, I also knew the twist, but I didn't remember, like, the finer points. So I was like, shit, they're gonna go back and know that Greylick betrayed them. But nope, thanks to Phlox inventing the Pulaski method a few centuries early.
And maybe only works on Zindi TBD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, surely something like this, if it was possible in the real world, wouldn't be permitted under the Geneva Convention, right?
Yeah.
It's unethical as fuck.
I don't imagine it would be.
Also, yeah, go on.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's certainly... A gray bordering on
plaid.
Very, very dark gray area.
Stripey. It's a stripey area.
It's strangely,
I didn't have as much of a problem with this as I did with his previous torturings.
Or the one next episode.
Well, that's how it is with TV, Jake. You've been desensitized to his violence.
What annoys me is that you've captured your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
This is Star Trek. You should be sitting down with him.
Yeah.
To explain to him and try to convince him we're all being manipulated.
Yeah, do a diplomacy about it.
And, like, you could still have the end result work where just, like, at the end of the day, he just cannot convince Degra, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. But then there's at least the conversation.
Yeah, there's an episode there that is better than this fucking madness.
It's madness. I mean, it's very clever madness. But yeah, it's fucking madness I would never expect from Starfleet, even early days Starfleet, because, like, I am 10,000,000,000% sure that even though we spent so much time, like, coming to know, like, the human side is wrong, the humanoid side of Degra as someone who has a family and wants to protect his family, and he's a person, and we can talk with him about rational things, but next week we're gonna hate their guts again and want to kill them.
Oh, I mean, John still does by the end of this episode. He has learned nothing yet again.
It's anger-inducing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I think what ultimately we have here is an episode that, you know, the writers came up with this idea, which is a cool and interesting
idea. Oh, well, they didn't come up with it. I got stories on where it came from.
Well, somebody came up with this idea, and it's a cool and interesting idea. But it's, yeah, I think it does not stand up to much scrutiny for the reasons you already said. Like, yeah, why isn't Archer just having a conversation with Degra? Well, that would be boring, so we're not going to do that. You know, and they put him back on his ship. Did they, like, I don't know, put a tracking device on the ship, too?
Yeah,
like,
that would microphone, be, that surveillance.
Nice. Nah.
Who pooped in the desk?
and, like...
Reed, definitely. Yeah.
Why did... If they were going to go through all this effort to, you know, have Archer pretend to be Degra's friend, why not disguise Archer as another Zindi? Like, he would have been much more trusting of him.
But he doesn't know their culture.
It also would have been weird if another Zindi was, like, trying to get this information from him in that way.
Well, I think it would have changed the approach.
True. Yeah, I mean, like, again, it could have been a conversation. John could have come to know a bit more about Degra. Maybe he could have tried to convince Degra. It's like, look, we're just people, we're explorers, we're nerds.
Yeah, I like learning more about Degra. Now I kind of find him more interesting.
Yeah.
Because we're reminded, like, he's been pushed to this.
Yeah, it doesn't justify what he's done, but you get, there's a motive that is understandable. And there could have been this moment of trying to humanize to each other. And again, maybe he doesn't convince Degra when he leaves. Yeah, they let him go because maybe overwhelming force of something. But, like, that can just, you know, there's already this seed of doubt there, and maybe that could blossom further, you know? Like, they bring him in, maybe they treat him nice.
Hmm.
And things like that. But instead, we get this fucking post-9/11 garbage.
Yeah, it definitely had, like, I don't know, air of 24 about it, you know? Like, I could see Jack Bauer doing something like this.
Especially before they land on
Pretty close, actually, Jake.
Before they land on this weird, weird scheme, which feels, by the way, very Romulan. This feels like a Romulan move.
Yes, with several Shinzons for good measure.
Yeah. Or I guess, actually, in some ways, it's almost little alien boy that adopted Riker for that one episode.
Oh, I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Future Imperfect.
Which he pretended was a Romulan scheme, because it seems like, yeah, this does seem like, it's so fucking weird. It's very Romulan. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it also reminded me a little bit of the, like, let's go rooting around in Sloane's brain.
Kind of.
Except with less murder.
Yeah. But before they settle on that, John basically implies to Degra that he is going to have one of his men put on the fucking rack.
Mm.
And again, no one goes, Captain? Space Geneva Convention? Throwing that out there?
There's no space Geneva. There's only the normal Geneva.
There's a new Geneva on some shit colony
Geneva
somewhere.
Prime.
Mm. So, Ames, close to 24, what is the story?
Okay, there's layers to this story, and I watched a movie this week that actually I don't regret for a change, which is a fucking rarity. So the movie, let's start with the movie, because the movie's pretty good.
Was DeForest Kelly in it?
close. You're very close.
Stop it.
So there's this movie from 1964 called 36 Hours, starring James Garner and other people, Ava Marie Saint, etc., etc. The gist of it is it's just before D-Day, and they're planning the Normandy invasion, and all this stuff is going on. And randomly, Jimmy Doohan is there for, like, the split-secondest scene, and he's adorable, and I love seeing him. But they come up with the plan for Normandy, and then their guy goes off and accidentally gets himself captured by Germans.
Oops.
When he wakes up, because, you know, he gets drugged and kidnapped. When he wakes up, they convince him that it's 20 years later, or 10 years later. He's got gray hair now. His eyes, you know, don't focus because they did something to his eyes. There's no secret about the ploy at all. It's very upfront from the word go what they're doing. Mm. And they convince him, oh, yeah, so the Americans won, and you got tortured and captured, and you have this amnesia thing. But everything's okay, so we're just going to keep talking to you until you figure it out. Your nurse here is a confidant for you and all this stuff. And they get out of him very fucking easily all the details they need for D-Day.
Oops.
But the James Garner character figures out, because he gave himself a paper, he accidentally got a paper cut the day before, and he still has this paper cut, and he's like, it does not take 6 years for a paper cut to heal.
Oh, shit.
Unless you get one right between the fingers.
Those like are infinite.
The webbing, those never go away.
Permanent paper cut. So he figures it out, and tells them, oh, I've known all along. All the info I gave you was a ruse and all this thing. And the episode, or the movie goes on and on like that. You know, they pull the trick him into giving the real information again. They're saying, oh, yes, your invasion, it did happen as you said it would. You know, the 5th at Normandy. And he's like, ah, I knew it would go well. And then the guy's like, no, we just shifted your clock forward. We got you again. He's like, no. So really good movie. I would super recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Joke's on the Nazis, though, because we still kick their ass.
Hey. Yeah, fuck those guys.
Oh, yeah, because like their Uber Gruppenführer, or whoever the guy was, didn't believe the doctor character. So he was just like, nah, you're lying to me. And he gets him killed. But that whole movie was based on, bum, 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 a Roald Dahl story called Beware of the Dog. I haven't read it. I read a brief synopsis. Here's a quick spoiler for Beware of the Dog. Same deal. Someone's been captured and are being led to believe that something else is going on, and they're in the UK or America or somewhere. But when he looks outside, at some point, he sees a sign that says Beware of the Dog in French. Mm. And he's like, I know what this is about. And then later, and this is where Jake was very close, they turned it into an episode of Mission Impossible.
There you go.
Was it from one of the seasons with Nimoy?
I've never seen any Mission Impossible, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've probably seen random episodes, but I did not realize, but in like the last couple seasons of the original Mission Impossible, he was a regular.
No way.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
What was
recently.
That around? When that, was that show?
That was like a late 60s through mid 70s
show. Oh, I didn't realize how old it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
So it's funny, this just reminded me, there was a book I owned as a kid, so it might have predated this episode, but it was like each one was a different short story about a different captain, and one of them was John Harriman, the captain of the Enterprise B.
Oh, nice.
And they had this whole thing where he's been captured by the Romulans, and they're interrogating him, and the interrogator spills all this stuff to John while John Harriman, oh, that's confusing, to Harriman while, like, trying to interrogate him. And then Harriman's like, uno reverse, bitch. We captured you.
Whoa.
This is a fake Romulan interrogation room. And he walks out.
Uno get him, Harriman.
Bitch.
Yep. So.
Oh, man, he sure had egg on his face.
Yep. So I kind of wonder, like, I think I had that book in, like, either middle or early high school. So it would have predated this episode. So I kind of wonder if they were aware of that at all. Much better John, captain of the Enterprise.
Sound like it.
Oh, even though his only canonical appearance is the start of Generations, I still stand by that.
The other thing that kind of irked me about this episode is just how long had they kept the Zindi in the prison, in the brig?
Didn't they say it was 3 days?
Is that what they said?
I think they said three, because it was a 3 days earlier was when they captured them.
Yeah, that's right.
So they figured they built a fucking
shuttle pod. Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is like, that fucking ship that they built was pretty fucking detailed.
Listen, they're all theater kids.
Yeah, there's definitely that moment when they were sort of planning the thing, and it was like, oh, she's like, oh, I could do the translations. It's like, let's put on a show.
it's the Enterprise 24-hour theater marathon.
We also know they must not have that Suliban ship anymore. Otherwise, they could have just used that fucking thing.
I feel like that would have been too small for this whole thing to play out.
True. But yeah, they did build that quick, especially because they don't have replicators. And also, they didn't come up with that idea on like the first day either. So they had even less time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the first day was torture.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that bothered me, and this is just a stupid thing, is that the TV that was playing the stars moving back and forth was like a couple feet away from the simulator in a very brightly lit room. There's no way that Degra wouldn't have looked out that window and been like, huh, that's just a TV screen.
Yeah, plus there'd be no like depth of field, or what's the effect called?
Like the parallax?
Parallax effect. Yeah.
And what is the parallax effect again?
Something in the foreground seems to move at a different rate than something in the background.
I don't know if you'd really have that, though, in space, because everything is just so far away.
I'm sure if you got close to the window and realized your field of vision didn't expand at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, he would definitely see the edges of the TV and like the cargo bay and the Mako standing over there. He'd be like, man, what the fuck?
Space got weird in the anomaly here.
That's the thing. John's going to get back to Earth after this, and there isn't going to be a trial for his war crimes, but he is going to be brought before the Teamsters Union for setting up all this stuff with a non-union crew.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what they could have done and what it would have been more believable would have been to just use one of the shuttle pods and, like, you know,
just said it was your shuttle pod.
Yeah. Or just like, yeah, filthed it up. It doesn't have to, like, Degra doesn't know what an Earthling shuttle pod looks like. So you could have, you know, especially from the inside.
Yeah.
So you could have just, you know, put a coat of paint on, put some crap around and just been like, yeah.
I mean,
but that would have tipped the audience off too early.
Yeah. They're not even 100% sure, apparently, that, well, and this is because everyone in Star Trek looks human, but when he's freaking out, he's like, what species? He probably has his suspicions, but he can't be 100% sure until Archer says, yeah, I'm human.
Figuring out this whole window thing, why not hang the shuttle out the fucking back door on a grappling hook and tow it?
Why do any of this?
Also true. I wondered a little bit. Okay. Because this just makes John more of a monster to me, but every episode makes John more of a monster to me, so if Twilight hadn't happened only a couple episodes ago, I would say it'd be good if they flipped it, had it such that the Zindi had kidnapped Archer or maybe another Mayweather throw a bone. But also, I don't know if the humans have any necessary like knowledge the Zindi need anymore. I don't know. But I feel like these are the wrong character dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is this episode trying to say? Because it tries to humanize Degra, but we're still not going to treat Degra like a person.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. God, did anything else happen in this stupid episode?
Oh, I had a great note. Phlox has been meaning to shove these worms in somebody.
Well, I think, actually, he did use them on Reed back in the day, didn't he?
Reed or was it Mayweather?
Well, after, because I think...
There was something in Reed for a while. I don't know if it was these or different ones.
Yeah, after he got the spike through his leg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that was a whole thing where it was like, because then the ship like fixed his leg or...
Yeah, the dead stop ship.
Yeah. I think maybe he suggested it but didn't actually use them. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm dithering like this fucking show.
Yeah, I also entirely missed the... Like, there was what, like a screen flicker or something that clued Degra in on what was going on?
Yeah, like when the ship was
anomalying,
radiationed or whatever, the the TV screen glitched out.
Oh, I see. I missed the glitch and thought he was just looking at the stars and thought maybe he saw something. But then that's really unclear.
Yeah, it was very subtle. I thought it from before. I thought it was a much bigger, more obvious thing.
That like might be
screen
too subtle.
Of death or something.
Yeah, that's why like the finger cut thing, the paper cut thing in my movie, that sold it perfectly because you understood immediately. Like, oh, he figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, here's another thing, again, a little stupid thing. So, Archer, like, Archer keeps putting on a show for no apparent reason. Like, when there was, like, the hull breach or whatever, and there was, or the thing overloaded, and the gas was leaking in. I was like, at first, I was like, oh, okay, so the gas mask is going to be filled with some sort of knockout gas, and that's how he's going to put Degra to sleep. Right, is like by giving him that little gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
But then he didn't.
Right.
Instead, the way he knocked Degra out is like to sneak over to him while he's sleeping and give him a hypo spray, which that could have backfired very easily.
Oh, very. But I think the point of the whole thing with the mask, because I thought the same things again, like I said, I did remember that this was all a setup. I was like, this will be how he knocks him out so he can talk freely. But that, like you said, wasn't the case. And I think what that was just, again, to sort of build the bonds of trust, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like, I'm going to
a crisis brings you together.
Yeah, I'm going to potentially die so you can live because you have something to live for.
You know, I don't know how I knew, but somehow I knew from the very beginning of this episode that it wasn't real.
But it was just, because again, it would have to be like, if what he was saying was true, they'd have to reset the timeline again. And they just did that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think I was giving them credit and being like, there's no way we're doing this again so soon.
Yeah, if it hadn't followed on Twilight, which
was a much
better
episode,
you know, this might have worked differently or better. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't remember, because it's been so long, if like the first time I saw this episode, if it fooled me. I have no fucking clue. So this time I just went in knowing it was a simulator.
Simulator? I hardly know
her.
Ayo.
Simulator, alligator.
Hey, that was weirdly wholesome.
Yeah, for this show?
Mm-hmm.
Butts.
Thank you, I'm glad you remembered yourself.
Anyway, I'm done with that.
All right, next.
Yep, fuck it. Now we move on to maybe the worst John has been this season?
The torture was pretty bad.
That's what I mean, in Harbinger. Harbinger.
Oh, I thought I'm referring to the other torture episode. The many tortures of Archer.
Yeah, this might be a new low, though. So in Harbinger, we start off with a previously on Enterprise to remind you of all the threads, so you know, oh fuck, we're going to be talking about all of these. And this episode is a disjointed mess.
Oh yeah.
It's basically the garbage pile of... Like, oh, here's all the plot lines that we never followed up on in a while. So
We've been building to something.
Yeah, well, they have actually been building the like T'Pol and Trip thing. So in this plot, Trip has been giving Vulcan acupressure or whatever to a Mako named Amanda Cole, and she's like, "You're hot," and he's like, "I am somehow weirdly not maybe as into this as I could be." And the whole ship knows they're kind of making eyes at each other. She smacks his ass during a training exercise.
Well,
and
that I took that as just like almost like a football player slapping another player's ass after a training.
Nah, that definitely felt more like a "this is my ass" slap.
I don't know. I didn't feel that way, but maybe. Listen, I've been wrong before. Go on.
Anyway, so T'Pol has the jealousy and Trip calls her on it and they fuck. And then T'Pol's like, "All right, we don't need to talk about this now or ever again."
T'Pol's like, "This was all. Now that that's done, we don't have to do it anymore." And Trip's like, "Oh,
basically.
But I wanted to."
Yeah. Other plot. Hey, remember how in like the very first episode of the season they established there might be some friction between Reed and the head of the Makos?
Oh yeah, fucking 14 episodes ago.
Yeah, the writers forgot too until right now when it comes to a head and they punch the shit out of each other. And even though Archer is right to call them out on it, he still does it in such a way that. Even when he's right, he's wrong.
And I love it. I love that.
The main plot, I guess.
Sure.
They pull a dude out of an anomaly. At first, I thought he was a Suliban. Way to come up with original makeup guys.
He looked
guys.
Just like a Suliban.
Yeah. And John just assumes he's evil and hiding things and tortures him. And like the episode chickens out by having him be right. You know, and he's like, when the Zindi destroy you, my people will thing. Fuck this episode, guys.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, yeah.
Every plot, and there were like the three plots, and each one, I just felt, this is fucking stupid.
Mm. The trip and the girl thing.
Which girl? Amanda?
Yeah. I didn't need it. And like, it was, the whole thing was so that we could have all those scenes of T'Pol being jealous.
Which is illogical.
Which I'm just like, that's not how T'Pol would be. That doesn't make sense.
Maybe there's an anomaly affecting her again.
There we go.
But yeah, so I didn't love that. I certainly didn't love the Reed stuff.
Terrible.
Because like, he's just such a little fucking bitch baby the whole episode.
He really is.
He's like, every fucking thing he does, he's like the Napoleon syndrome guy or whatever, you know, or Napoleon complex, whatever it is, where he's just like, he just gives off that air of inferiority, like he's trying to prove something. And to who? I don't know.
Daddy.
Yeah. Like, and again, if maybe they'd spent more than the first episode and this episode, and like, maybe,
or if this happened to like 50 episodes ago,
something like,
but even then, I'd hate it though. It's real. It's infantile.
That thing, at least if they had like maybe established that the other guy had been kind of shitty to him here and there, like, and but actually built up. That's the thing.
He's been fine.
Yeah, that's
he
the
says,
thing.
Oh, you're trying to take my job. Oh, you don't listen to my orders. We've never seen him once not listen to Reed's orders.
We've never seen them interact practically, except for that first episode. It's like, if you'd shown interaction, built it up, and maybe we as the audience could also be kind of like, that guy is kind of a dick. And then it could be like, all right, they fought, they're friends now. But instead it just feels like, Reed, you are just 100% in the wrong here, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a little piss baby.
Yeah, and I also didn't get, like, it where it left it, it wasn't really like, oh, we fought, we're friends now. It was just sort of like, oh, we both got yelled at, so I guess we're bonding a little over that.
I sort of thought that the teamwork at the end was meant to give us like a, okay, like, we're different, but we can work together vibe.
And the fact that they sort of shared a little joke, kind of like, so, are we dismissed? Like, they're buddies now, maybe? Because that is the extent of Enterprise's writing abilities?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's just the whole thing just makes the Reed character shittier.
It does. Like, here's the other thing that got... every scene, I just laughed hysterically because it's the stupidest fucking thing. When Hayes puts together these, oh, let's practice martial arts on each other so that the Mako's and Reed's team can, you know, be on the same, like, level of... like punchingness, but then we just pick like Hoshi and Mayweather and T'Pol and Trip, the main characters of the show, instead of Reed's fucking security team.
Well, here's what it is: it's because here, I know exactly why this is in universe anyway.
In universe, really?
The in universe reason for this is Reed knows he's a little bitch baby. And he does not have the respect of his team.
Woof.
So really, this whole thing is so that he can show off to the other senior staff to be like, look at how fucking badass I am.
Look at how much of a bitch baby I'm not.
And yet he still ends up looking like a bitch baby.
Speaking of showing off, Tony got some pythons, huh?
Right? I did think his grappling scene was quite good.
It was a great time for them to remember Mayweather existed. He did more in this episode than he did in, like, the entire rest of the season.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
They're just like, holy shit, have we seen his arms before? They are toned as fuck.
I feel it goes a little beyond toned. He is built.
Jacked.
Another fucking hilariously stupid thing. So, right in the scene before the big fist fight, Major Hayes walks into the gym and Reed is just standing there in front of a mirror making like martial arts moves
and he makes the sounds
like he's not like practicing with a speed bag or like, I don't know, using a a dumbbell. I don't fucking know the things you would do at a gym. No, he's just like, yeah, look at how fucking cool I am. I can do all the moves. I can do hi-ya. I can do chop chop. I can do Kirk chop. He can do them all.
So, I mean, it is stupid, but shadow boxing is a thing.
If you're a fucking dork, it's a dorky thing.
Like, it's a thing people do. It's not something they made up for Reed.
No, I know they didn't make it up, but it's the type of thing where if I walked into a gym and saw somebody standing in front of a mirror making fucking karate moves at themselves, I would do the same thing Hayes was going to do and leave.
Yeah,
because that's fucking weird.
It is. And that person is unstable. I am so embarrassed for you, my bro.
The thing is, you walk into a gym and like half the gym would think that's perfectly normal for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm going to start going to the gym and just doing that. Not working out at all. Just get you know, get into
working
like
on your Bruce
a tank
moves.
Top. You know, just go up to the mirror.
Oh, you'd get kicked out of the Planet Fitness.
It's a judgment-free zone, Ames.
They don't allow lunks. If you're a lunk and you grunt or drop weights, they blast the lunk alarm.
Well, but Jake's not even going to touch the weights.
But he'd be grunting.
Weights? What are you talking about? That's not what this gym is about. This is about me and my fucking moves.
And grunts.
Well, and sounds.
Yeah. They had that bit where they were talking about how like Reed ate the same meals for a year, and I'm like, son, that is not like consistency, that is neurodivergence. I get it. I probably would fall into that habit if I didn't watch myself and take medication. Like, you need some help, my good friend. Real professional help. Get some, please.
And a pineapple cake.
That too. Just make sure you get your shot first. From anyone but Phlox, because oh my god. Like, here's the thing.
Oh my god.
Phlox might object a bit in this episode, but not much. He doesn't try very hard.
I've got the motto for this whole show right here. And that's when you know, we're figuring out what to do with our alien test subject friend. And the line was, we'll have to bend a few ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when Phlox heard that, he's like, exactly. Bend my dick with those ethics. Jesus.
Phlox is into it.
I swear he only does like token objecting just in case he's getting recorded. Like in reality, he is stoked.
Oh, yeah.
John just doesn't give a fuck. He was like, Captain, this man is in extreme pain. Any good captain would have said, well, then knock him back out until you can wake him up without him being.
John's
in pain.
Like, good, get me some cigarettes that I can put out in his face.
Yeah, like, what a horrible man.
Well, also, I get it.
Uh-oh.
We don't have a prime directive or whatever, but you quote-unquote rescue this guy from the anomaly that he was trapped in.
Yeah, you think you're saving a person.
But then he wakes up and he goes, put me back. Okay, you say yes.
Yeah,
you say, okay.
End of conversation.
Yeah, you put him back, because at this point now you've just kidnapped somebody.
Being fair to that, I don't know if they could have if they wanted. Because they nearly got themselves fucked getting him out.
Well, that's their fucking problem. If he says, put me back on my ship, you put the man back on his ship.
Yeah, but I just mean, you know, they again, in a better episode, they would have been like, a better show, they would have been like, we'll have to figure that out. We're going to knock you back out now. And then they would work on trying to figure out how to get him back in. While Phlox also tries to figure out if there's a way to wake him up without him being in immense pain. And again, there's no reason to assume anything he says is a lie or that he has nefarious purpose. That certainly doesn't look like a ship you'd willingly be in.
Yeah, he doesn't come out looking like a Zindi.
Yeah, no, like, oh my god, it's just I know I said this before, but like, it's a constant reminder of what a horrible, stupid time it was to be alive. I mean, it is now too, but this is what kicked so much off of what we're now dealing with. And it's like, oh, this fucking show, and damn them for failing so miserably at being Star Trek when you really needed some sensible fucking voices in the room.
Yeah, when you wanted to be the rational folk who could talk out their differences instead of constant torture.
Yeah. So,
and
you know,
and distrust and racial profiling every episode you come to.
Yeah, like just every fuck time. This era. Fuck Rick Berman and everyone else that let this happen. It's fucking vile. And like, again, it would be one thing if the show objected to it, but almost never is any of this presented as John doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Well, of course not. We loved torture back then. We're all about it.
But like, I think, you know, if we, you know, at the time, we're supposed to be going like, yes, I mean, it's unfortunate, but necessary. And it's like, no, it's not necessary. It's just bad.
Yeah, and I don't understand the impetus to, like, give alien test subject that final line of, oh, when the Zindi beat you, you'll deserve it and we'll be back or something. Because it sounds so... like, it. I'm sure it's that they have, like, a thing they want to do in a couple episodes that I don't know yet. But at this point, it feels fucking contrived.
Oh, big
time. It's so John can have retroactively been right.
Yep.
And that's fucking idiotic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. It does sort of validate his poor behavior.
Yeah, that's literally the only reason it's there. Like, see, kids, torture is right.
But, like, what is... That's implying that this guy, who was... Do we know how long he's been in this anomaly chamber?
I don't think so.
Not long enough that he knows the Zindi are going to attack humans.
Yeah, I mean...
Somehow he knows this stuff.
Presumably he's with the people that told the Zindi in the first place. It sounds like their whole scheme is like, the Zindi will destroy humanity and then they'll get to do whatever it is they want to do.
So now we're just adding more species to this cluster jumble.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I don't think there'll be any follow-up with this guy.
Well, he's... is he dead? I think he's dead.
Well, this guy's people.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if there is, I don't remember it. Oh, there is? Okay, great.
Oh, well, thank God.
I've admittedly done my level best to forget this season.
Yeah, I have one of these things in timelines.
I feel so bad for Chris. Like, remember how he was like, this show is good.
I mean, I never thought season 3 was good.
No, I know, but I still feel really bad.
Oh, it's okay, because, again, what this got me to do was rewatch all the stuff I'd forgotten over the years and finish things I never did and realize, wow, there's so much good stuff I forgot about. And now I understand why people hate Enterprise. It is actually mostly trash.
I know, but I'm sad for that for you.
Yeah.
It's more trash than I was expecting mediocre. And then we get this trash that's like actively harmful to like people who are trying to learn like the right thing. Like, what do you do in this situation?
This season is definitely the worst Star Trek ever. And I include TAS with that, because at least TAS was still Star Trek.
Okay, Picard season 2.
Better than this.
Okay, hear me out. Picard season 2.
Awful. It's bonkers. I don't understand what they were going for, but you know what they weren't going for?
Waterboarding?
War crimes.
Like, at least season 2 has that whole ice is bad thing. This season would fucking love ice. It would have a huge boner for ice. And let ICE Flocks do whatever join it up. Wanted to it. Like, this is the most philosophically reprehensible season of Star Trek.
This is pretty rough.
This is Star Trek 24. This is Star Trek 9/11. This is vile. It is disgusting. It is horrible. When people are like, it doesn't stand for Gene's vision. Whenever there's a black character or something.
What did you say? What were you saying?
It doesn't stand for Gene's vision. Oh. This is the anti-Star Trek. No matter what anyone says about any other Star Trek, this season is anti-Star Trek.
Gene is spinning in his grave in space.
His dust particles are like just doing a little tornado. It's it's awful, and it's not done. And spoiler, there's no comeuppance. I've been trying to keep that to myself, but there is no comeuppance for John
and we keep
for
naming
any of
things
this.
After him.
It's fucking awful.
Gross.
Oh, I can't keep that in anymore, and I don't care, because if you were wondering, no comeuppance.
He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'm fucking mad.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what's less vile? T'Pol's bum.
Oh, yeah, dude, she looked nice. True. I was into it.
It's a good bum. So there's two versions of the bum scene, because I guess the first airing of this in U.S. markets, and I think the U.K. too, they crop it so that you don't get to bum.
What? What are they, gay?
I think There was just a lot more like concern about. I mean, there was concern about sensors and shit, and there was like, oh no, we can't have the bomb.
Listen, I understand, but that ass is a work of art. We don't censor art in this house.
But I think like Canadian markets got to see full bomb, and then of course I'm sure you got it, guys. Whatever you watched this on, you saw the bomb. Because it's on streaming, it's on Paramount Plus, it's on all the DVD sets and stuff. That's the bum.
Well, it was very nice.
I actually
good job.
Wasn't nice paying bum. Super close attention, so I don't
what?
Know how it was cropped.
Oh,
you I missed don't. The bum?
No, we could see the bum. Look, we got the whole bum.
I have the hardest. Time
we didn't get like under bum or anything, but
under bum.
What is this motion I'm doing?
Under bum lifting,
tapping the under bum.
I don't know what under bum is though. I mean,
I am surprised the UK would censor it, because they're, like, pretty comfortable with, like...
They love nudity.
Yeah.
They don't like violence.
No, that is true.
Or ninjas.
They're very scared of it. Or yeah. Ninjas, right.
The Ninja Turtles are the,
Hero Turtles.
Mutant Hero Turtles, yeah.
I think they finally call them the Ninja Turtles over there, but it took until, like, I think the last decade or so.
Well, better late than never, I suppose.
Yeah, they're deeply strange people when it comes to what they do and don't censor.
It really is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but regarding the bum scene... Like, yes, Topolo's acting emphatically out of character, and all of this is very obviously contrived. Like, it really does feel like they're holding up two, like, little action figures, being like, oh, Trip, I'm jealous of you. Oh, Topolo, I'm jealous of Sim. What? Jesus Christ, Trip. Okay. Well, we have to force them together so they kiss. And yet I'm still there like, they're so cute.
That's the
damn it.
It's written terribly, but the actors... just work so well off of each other.
Yeah, they have really good chemistry.
They do,
like,
that's
date
true.
Or anything? Like, do they have some romance off screen?
No idea.
I would love to know.
But, like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if you don't think about it too hard and how little sense it makes, they just sell it to you.
They do. I did hate that, like, there's a stupid thing. I think it happens thrice in which...
Oh, my God. Go ahead. Yep, I know.
In which T'Pol throws back... words he's used early in the argument in his face. And it's like, you do it once. You do it once. You don't do it three times.
Ames, it's not just him. This yeah. is fucking verbal irony of the episode. Because fucking Reed does it with his...
Oh, he does! It's so
button.
Lazy!
He's like, oh, you were looking at my hands. You should have looked at my eyes.
Yeah.
And I feel like he
too
does
much.
It three times too.
Too
he's
much.
Like, oh,
lazy
okay. We're improving.
I've just
God,
fixed the episode.
So awful.
Do it! They die! They all die at the end.
Rocks
no,
fall.
Even better. You were looking at my hands. You should have been looking at my eyes. Like, damn it, Lieutenant. I've been avoiding looking at those beautiful eyes. And then they make out.
That would be
oh, yeah.
Fun.
I said
that
to Ames when we were watching it. That was like,
just kiss
yeah,
already.
Just kiss already.
They're, yeah, these guys just need to,
these boys.
Just need to start fucking.
Yes, hold up
touch
their little
dicks,
action
boys.
Figures.
Smash them together.
Yeah, it would have been good because it would have had been a nice, like, mirroring of the two plots if you had... Reed and Hayes finally get their sexual frustration out, and then also Trip and T'Pol.
No gay on Berman's watch.
Poor Cole gets nothing.
Cole, who we've never seen before and will never see again, even though there's only like 10 Makos on the ship.
Trip definitely tried to make it a three-way at one point.
I noticed that.
You want to observe me handling her? Like, Trip, pump the brakes, buddy.
Listen, he's an ambitious man.
He is, clearly.
We give him props for trying.
I mean, if anyone on that ship could get away with it, it is him.
True.
I like how he pulls all innocent when she kisses him, and he's like, oh, I thought we were just doing sexy massages on each other. That's a thing, right?
God.
Wait, to who, Amanda, you mean?
Yeah.
To Amanda.
Oh, yeah.
What does Trip think of Sim?
That's the thing. Everything
well,
he knows.
He didn't experience him, right?
Yeah, everything he knows about him is secondhand.
Yeah.
So.
And yet people act like he should know this stuff. He's like, no, I'm the one who wasn't here.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's probably just how it is, you know? People are like, well, there was. Oh, wait, that wasn't you. That was you. He's like, what? Jesus Christ.
Captain.
Yeah. That would have been interesting if the show actually explored that even remotely beyond just this one thing.
Even if in this conversation he had one line being like, well, maybe that was Sim and not me. We were different people, so why here? ... And no one explored. ...
Oh, there was another verbal irony. When, Reed was like, just drop it. And then Trip's like, just drop it. And their little discussion about things. Really
did they
was,
have just... not enough lines for this show that they just kept having to reuse what they had?
Meanwhile, poor Tony doesn't get any. No, give him a few.
Didn't he talk a lot in this episode?
He did, but I'm just saying he's owed some at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And that was what he got. All of them. He is now done for the season. Don't expect to see Mayweather talk again. But maybe expect to see him with his shirt sleeves off, because damn.
The target balls were fun.
They were fine.
Yeah,
you shoot cool. one, and then it turns into a bunch more instead of just zipping around. I was like, oh, that's a fun twist on a familiar idea.
That's a fun twist on learning to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
I love how freaking long the previously on sequence was.
Oh, God. Because
I felt like they had to remind us that the Makos were on board. It's like, oh, right, I forgot about the Makos again.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess if you're watching this, you know, week by week back in the day, and who knows, there may have been, you know, how sometimes a show won't be on for a week or two for reasons. So, like, for us, this has all been happening relatively quickly, but here it's like, oh, yeah, people might have forgotten, especially because the writers did.
Oh, also, fuck Phlox for being like, T'Pol, go fix Amanda Cole's shoulder or whatever. It's like,
that's
bitch,
right.
T'Pol is not the ship masseuse. Why are you doing this to her?
Especially after he was like, well, from what I understand, that's really intimate, right? But go right ahead and do it to this total stranger.
He snuck a camera in the room, was really hoping it would turn into...
I think he was just shit stirring.
Well, that too, yeah.
That motherfucker loves the tea.
That's the thing, if he wasn't... a genocidal maniac and was just that bitch, he'd probably be a fun character.
I would like
He's more than just genocidal, though. A lot of the stuff he pulls actually makes him feel off-putting.
Yeah.
Like, he's been genocidal a couple of times, and we've been like, oh, gross, Phlox. But the rest of the time, I feel him just icky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he took pleasure in putting that worm in the guy.
Well, I mean...
That's the Nazi part.
That was actually the nicest thing he did, because... You know, if nothing else, this, you know, Degra's going to end this weekend with a really
clean
clear
blood.
Lymphatic system or whatever he said.
Yeah.
So
he did
say,
don't hurt the worm, so.
Yeah. Well, he likes worms more than he likes humanoids, because they can't tell him he's evil.
Except the ones that can.
Mm. He eats those.
But yeah, it really was just like subplots the episode plus torture.
Plus verbal irony.
And so much
plus way
irony.
Too much verbal irony.
So
like,
much.
It was just... The whole episode was a dick measuring contest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only one person got to do it literally.
Yeah.
That was T'Pol.
I think that T'Pol, by the way, like decided to tell him it was like a big experiment because the dick was trash. It's the only explanation.
Whoa.
I know. I wouldn't think it either, but maybe he just was like, and really came fast or something. We don't know.
Well, I think it's been a while, probably. So yeah, he might have.
No, it hasn't been, because he fucked the, not the perfect mate, what's her fucking name? Kaitama, the first monarch.
That's true. Yeah. But that was kind of a while ago, that was like middle of season two.
And he's been so busy having to fix the ship every 5 minutes, he probably hasn't had time to take care of it himself either, if you know what I mean. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Hot.
Yes.
I don't know, I know it's going to come up again, like, why T'Pol is being so catty about this and so coy. I also think they shouldn't have had this conversation in the middle of fucking mess hall.
Not a good move, Trip. Like,
yes, that was a poor choice on Trip's part.
Read a room, you weirdo.
Although, this it's funny, though, because this is, again, one of those, like, frequently used in memes pictures. It's like, oh, that's this episode.
Oh, the T'Pol with her tea.
Looking over her
tea. Yeah, that one.
I like that.
Oh, that's okay. I've seen this one. You know, it's up there. It's no... Especially the lies, but it's you see it a lot.
Oh, wow. Are we done? Because what a segue.
That's true. Are we done?
You did it! I'm done!
Fuck.
Jump
especially
on the segue!
Especially the lies!
Put, 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 put.
I didn't even do that on purpose.
I didn't think so, but man, it was beautiful.
Segue.
So, yeah.
So here, we're going to talk about lots of lies today over here in our blogtivity, which you're definitely following over on the Tumblr, because this week we're all going to spotlight Garrick. And we're going to see if all of our items are on both our best lists and our worst lists, because there might be some overlap.
Like our lists, there's going to be a shitload of overlap this week, I bet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I should say that I don't have good and bad on this list. I have good, cool, bad, actually bad, and bad writers, comma, bad.
That's
nice.
That's too many lists. I'm going to ask you for good first.
All right, I will put cool bad with the good.
Weird. Let's see how this turns out.
So, good? this is sort of like his arc, I guess, in season 7. But he both aids Starfleet by decoding messages.
Yep.
And then works with the Cardassian underground to, like, you know, which he even says, like, he feels like he's betraying Cardassia with the decoding, and then he works with the underground, and like he's basically doing what's right for Cardassia, even though knowing full well it will lead to the end of the Cardassia he has spent his life loving and wanting to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is, like, a dyed-in-the-wool Cardassian man. And that Cardassia goes away.
Well, if that Cardassia is already gone, and I think that that's sort of his point.
It's true.
Like, I'm not betraying the Cardassia that I came from. I'm betraying the corrupt...
Founders.
Dominion-controlled farce that Cardassia is now.
Yeah, and that... But, like, I think he knows, too, that, like, there's no way the Cardassia he knew will recover.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, he knows that that's
the form it will return in will not be the form he wants.
No, but at least it will return. I think his bigger fear and what drives him to do these things is that if he doesn't, then the odds are that Cardassia just won't exist in any form after very long.
Yeah. So, you know, he does... I think it's the one time he just does the right thing and not something for himself. I'm going to go with our introduction to him in past prologue, where for some reason he reveals the terrorist plot in convoluted ways to Julian.
And he lets Bashir help.
Yes. And my cool bad, which we'll call a good, is just in the pale moonlight. That fucking bitch.
Yeah, I wrote up in the moonlight. Oh boy, this might belong on the worst list too, TBD.
Yeah, that's why I called it cool bad.
Is that the, it's a fake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I'll go. Yeah, so I'm going to put on my good list, I'm going to have, just as a start with a little light one, playing with Julian in the holodeck.
Aww.
You know, being in his little James Bond game.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that was nice because it's certainly not something that Garrick himself was into.
Yeah, no.
But he, or at least he pretended he wasn't into it.
Well, what a simple Taylor want with a spy program, you know?
Well, especially, yeah. It's like, oh, this is what you think I do. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But anyway, it's endearing. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I also had saving Cardassia, basically, going there to liberate it. And, like, putting aside his justified hatred of Damar.
Yeah. And he killed his little girlfriend, too. Poor Zial.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, again, just doing, you know, kind of what Chris was saying, you know, it's just, like, doing what needed to be done. So that was good. And then, finally, I'm going to say, putting himself in an extremely uncomfortable and stressful position.
With Julian?
Yeah, no, but like literally in an uncomfortable position for him when he hotwired the communications at the Dominion prison.
Yeah.
And basically saved everybody, which turned out to not really be many people because everybody else got killed. But he saved the important people.
Yeah. And I mean, bringing Martok back probably made a big fucking difference in the long run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like, he didn't bring a lot of people back, but boy, did he bring back some very high-value fucking people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, between Martok and Worf, the two of them alone saved the Klingons, right? You know, like, there would be no Klingon Empire if they hadn't come back.
Yeah.
Freaking Gowron, man. How about you, Caitlin? I know you're a big Garrick fan.
Well, literally everything that I was going to say has been said. I was thinking about the claustrophobia communications array thing, like Jake just mentioned. I was thinking about killing the shit out of the Romulan senator because he knew, like, Ben wouldn't do it on purpose necessarily. And I guess my only other one is... this is sort of like a right for the wrong reasons thing. He does kind of befriend Zial... But I can't help but feel like they kind of start hanging out at first because he just wants to, like, spit in Gul Dukat's face a little. Which, Joke's on him. Gul Dukat is into that shit. But it just kind of, I mean, like, you could argue that it was probably 50-50, like, partially, like, Gul Dukat would hate this, and partially, like, I haven't seen one of my own people in a long time. But I think it was cool that he tried to, like, show her about being a Cardassian a little bit, even though I think that his heart wasn't necessarily in the right place at the beginning.
Let's be honest, it rarely is, and that's why we love him.
Yeah.
But, you know. I'm not sure which case you're trying to put that, the moment into. Good or bad.
Well, I'm saying that it's good that he, like, was there for her, but it also wasn't entirely wholesome.
Did we talk about his reasonings in that relationship? I don't remember this coming up.
I don't really remember, but having rewatched the series 3 times since then, I've formed some opinions.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever interpreted it as him being like, oh, I'll get back at Dukat by sleeping with his daughter.
I could be misreading, but it wouldn't surprise me if he knew that it might stir up a little shit.
I mean, you are a resident DS9 expert.
Hardly.
Yeah, meanwhile, I've got more spare moments to bring up, because I wanted to make sure I brought up killing Weyoun 8. The last of the Weyouns. And if I was going to put on Worf's list, and I think I did put on Worf's list, killing Weyoun must have been 7. Then Garak gets Weyoun 8, and everyone who gets a Weyoun gets it on their list. If Damar had a spotlight series, killing several Weyouns would be on there.
Well, at least number 4, right? Because 5's the broken one?
No, 6 is the broken one.
Ah, okay, five, so he kills 5, then.
Yeah, 5 is that one. 4 is the one we first met that got killed by Jem'Hadar.
Yeah, we really just whipped through fucking Weyouns, huh?
We do. So many.
I feel like 1 through 3 probably each individually lasted a very long time. It's just things went very wrong very quickly for the Dominion.
Okay, another moment I want to make sure I bring up is that even though he really wanted to go back to Cardassia and was going to use this as a way to get back to Cardassia, when he figures out that he's been had, he kills the fuck out of Gul Turan before he can arrest Natima Lang and her students in Profit and Loss.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep, you get him, Garak. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing then if this isn't going to work out for me. Fuck you.
Is that also the episode where he's kind of trying to, like, caution Quark?
Yes.
With their weird little fashion talk?
Yes, which is such a good chat. Yes. That was a kind of a sub moment of this one. The great chat over fashion that clearly wasn't about fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Some people find that mode of dress to be too radical. Wow.
Subtle, guys.
You must have been a great spy, Garak. Holy shit.
Got him.
And I'm going to have...
Garak, you're not supposed to say wink.
Even when I'm winking? Especially when you're winking.
And the last one I'm going to give is another one. It's an early one, but it's also a good one. And that's when he exposes Dukat's orphan plan. When that guy, what was it? Gul Padar, I think? I want to say that's right.
Oh, yeah. The kid that was raised by Bajorans that they were trying to pass off as some, like, big diplomat's kid.
And Garak's like, this is all a Dukat scheme. This sniffs of Dukat scheme, and I'm going to be here for it. And he was.
I never mistake the musk of Dukat.
I forgot all about that. Man, I know I said it back in the day, but, like, Cardassians really are what Romulans want to be.
Oh, yes.
Like, they're...
Right down to the Obsidian Order whatever it is that the Romulans have.
But it's just, like, the insane convoluted schemes actually bear fruit, unless Garak ruins your day.
Oh, any honorable mentions or any, like, weird gray areas, or do we want to jump right into the naughty Garak? Very naughty.
So many of his moments are just so fucking fun, so we'd be here for another hour and a half just talking about basically literally all of his appearances.
Well, that's alright, the rest of the episode was really short, so we can spend extra time on Garak as he deserves.
Alright, let's go on to actually bad things.
I don't think there are any.
Torturing Odo in The Die Is Cast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor Odo. I don't even have that on my list.
No, that's all I have on my list.
That's like the hugest one for me.
Trying to suicide mission the whole Defiant in Broken Link.
Right? F- for no fucking reason.
Well, revenge. And this one is really, I feel like, more like bad on the part of the writers. But like, I really feel like no matter what the in-universe reason might have been, the only reason they tried to have him have this relationship with a woman who was barely an adult.
Oh, yeah, it was to throw off the gay.
Yeah, it was because they were upset that people were like, he's gay. And they're like, no, look, here's a woman for him to be interested in. It's like,
all right, he's bisexual, but that's my last offer.
It's like, okay, he is like way older than her and she is barely legal. This is weird.
Yeah, and she's also been in a prison camp her whole life. Like,
yeah.
They should be friends. It would have been so nice if they could just have been friends.
Yeah.
But they had to make it very strange.
Guys, yeah. Men and women can't be friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, had they just been Cardassian buddies, that's fine. You know, it's like, he misses Cardassia, she never really knew Cardassia, but again, gay panic snuck in, and the writers had to be like, no, look, he's totally 100% big hetero lizard.
Yeah. Big hetero lizard. Like King Koopa.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's fascinating. He likes to fuck people.
King Koopa's cool. Definitely a fan.
So I'm going to have... So I actually am including in the actions of In the Pale Moonlight.
I love it. It's always my favorite when they're on both lists.
Yeah. And not necessarily, like, it's the whole gestalt, right? It was definitely, you know, yeah, blowing up the ambassador, but then also, like, killing the poor guy that programmed the hollow recording.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Garrick clearly just didn't like that guy. Like, he had something out for him, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was like this whole thing was an excuse to get, I want to say, Graython Tolar, but I might be wrong, to get that guy killed.
Yeah, there you go.
And to get biomimetic gel from Julian for fun. I remember that.
Right.
That's always been my theory, that all Garrick wanted was biomimetic gel from Julian.
Next up, I have... and it's not really his fault, per se, but getting the Cardassian crazies on Empok Nor almost killing the fuck out of Nog.
And he did kill a different guy.
Yeah, and he did kill a different guy, that's true.
Yeah, but we didn't know his name, so who cares?
We did know his name.
Oh, okay, well...
He had a name, I don't have it on me, but he did have one.
Smitty.
Because the end scene is him asking, I think, Sisko or somebody, Julian... to, like, send his condolences specifically to the family. And it's like, ugh, Garrick, bad.
Yeah. I mean, again, not his fault that there was fucking crazy juice on that place, but still. Sucks to be Garrick. And then, yeah, I think that the number one spot for me, and I can't move it, is torturing the fuck out of Odo.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, basically unredeemable. Yet somehow Odo forgave him.
So I guess that means it's my turn.
Get it, Caitlin.
Number one, Odo. God damn it.
Aw, poor Odo.
Obviously. I mean, and just to, like, make Daddy proud, you know? Like, come on, dude.
That's true.
You're better than this, aren't you?
Everyone in this fucking show has Daddy issues, except Jake.
Well, and he develops them when his dad disappears.
Then he has profit issues.
Stupid profits. So that's obviously number one. Jake, I know that you mentioned the holodeck escapades, but as you may recall, Garrick was like, fuck it, if we have to kill some of them, we have to kill some of them. I don't give a shit. And Julian actually shoots him to stop him from misbehaving.
Yeah, like immediately,
too. Which I think turned Garrick on a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's the bad. Everything he does is kind of naughty, you know? he's just a naughty man. Did that dress that Kira bought for the Queen of the Flaky people there? Did that come from his shop?
I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna say it did, and so I'm gonna say the third worst thing Garrick ever did was that dress.
I don't know if it came from him though. If it didn't, then I'll find you a good spare if it didn't.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Speaking of good spares, I've got a couple good spares to chide Garrick with a little bit. The first one, he's so mean to Ezri in After Image when Ezri is just there trying to help.
To be fair, fuck Ezri.
I mean, yes, to be fair, fuck Ezri, but she was there for professional reasons, doing her best.
Yeah, and she wound up talking about herself the whole time. Sorry, go ahead.
That's because he wouldn't talk about himself, so she had to do something.
All right.
She's only a counselor in training or whatever, so, you know. She doesn't have the experience. Give her a break.
Fair. I have to shit on body parts, because I always have to shit on body parts, because I fucking hate that episode. This is the episode in which Quark needs to let Garrick murder him. And Garrick's like, okay, here's a bunch of options for how I can assassinate you. And Quark is like, I don't know. Let's find the most painless one. When Garrick should have figured, this episode should have been Quark fakes his own death to get out of this fucking thing with Brunt. I'm blaming everyone for not getting it right, including Garrick, including Quark, including the writers. God damn it, everyone, you fucked this episode up.
You fucking
Garrick should have been better. And my last little one, we're gonna go back to Impak Nor, because I have one more thing from Impak Nor I also need to shit on, because I will always shit on this as well. Too much Kotra.
Yeah.
Too much Kotra?
That board game.
Oh.
They really get hung up on it as a metaphor.
Yep. And Garrick's there like, oh, O'Brien, I've captured all your Kotra men. Come, it's your turn in Kotra. And he's taunting him over the loudspeaker or some shit. I'm like, oh my god, you've taken the metaphor too far.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck that.
Well, that's a bad writer's thing, right?
Yeah, it's a crutch. It's a writer's crutch.
Yeah.
You could have let the metaphor stand on its own, but nope, you had to underline it 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonorable mention to when Zial invites him to nap on rocks, and he's all high school boy. Does she really want me to nap on rocks with her? Does this mean she likes me, or does this mean she's trying to assassinate me? And it's like, well, Garrick, Jesus Christ.
At least he didn't try to send Odo to be like, hey, can you ask her like if she likes me or likes me?
Oh, God.
Pretty close, though.
Pretty close. And I remember us being like at the time, like, Garrick, you're a professional assassin. You can handle a 16-year-old girl.
Yikes.
Or 18. I think she's 18. I think she's technically legal. It's just still gross.
Yeah, she does not have the life experience to make it okay.
Hey, neither did Kes, but we said that was all right.
Speaking of not okay, more Enterprise next week.
Shit, oh god, next week too. Fuck this episode.
I am pretty sure one of these is on a previous blog post, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, oh boy.
Which one is it?
Hatchery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one where Archer goes baby crazy.
Yeah, this is the one that we discussed, or that I brought up at least in one of our blogtivities. Hey, check out the blog while you're here for our mutiny discussion.
Yeah, but that's the second episode. The first episode, oh boy, based on the title, it's gonna be Phlox in Doctor's Orders.
Oh, Phlox that.
Hey!
So Doctor's Orders, Hatchery, and we're talking Keiko O'Brien.
So you're saying we should just skip next week is what I'm
hearing. Yeah, it's like everything that is terrible.
No, no, come back next week, because I'm sure, maybe we'll be really concise in our hatred like we were this week.
Yeah, it's pretty shorty.
Yeah, but we were very focused.
Yeah.
So, you know.
True. No Batman rants or anything.
No, that's true. So good for us.
This show really, it does have no redeeming qualities. We can't even connect it back to Batman. Bullshit.
Oh, good for us. Good for you. Good time had by all. Join us next week, same bad time, same bad channel.
Hey,
there it is.
This has been Caitlin.
This is the wrong order, but I don't care. This has been Ames. I got excited because that was a good segue.
This might be Jake. I don't know.
Yay.
Justified hatred of Damar.
Yeah. Damar, who killed his little girlfriend.
Sorry, hold on.
Jesus.
Something happened over there.
Hades knocked
Hades
over
just
the microphone.
Flopped onto the table the microphone is on and just bunny kicked the fucking thing. Double shovel right off the fucking table.
Is everything okay? So recording and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Come here,
you
little brat.
Ames, when we've cleared him, if you want to take it from killed his girlfriend. Because there's no way to rescue that line.
Great.